Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Scales of Truth. Although, boy, this one's different. This is not a Scales of Truth. This is not a quick rant of truth. A regular Scales of Truth episode. You know, some of mine are called quick rants of truth. It's not an OTX episode at all. It's not even a miscellaneous points of truth. It is instead, weird story of maybe. Is this WSOM-01? I may call it that just for fun. It's a weird story of maybe. If you hear the outside, it's because I'm outside. It's a nice, peaceful night here in the Sunflower State. And I thought I might as well record out here. Why not? Give you a little bit of white noise. And plus, you won't hear my cat meowing. Because the cat will even meow outside of the studio such that it is if I want to shut my office door. So if you hear some crickets and stuff, that's what's going on. A beautiful night in the Sunflower State. So, my weird story of maybe. This is strange. I'm going to first tell you the story, and then, but I'm going to hint to you also that it has a potential paranormal aspect to it. Because it's weird to begin with, but then I've got something else that goes, huh, kind of an extra little tweak that makes you go, really? That's strange. So, the story is, I dropped my car off today to be worked on, new tires and so on. But within walking distance. So on the way there, I'm rather on the way back when I'm dropping, after I dropped it off, I just walk back and I see this cool old building. It reminds me of one of those Works Progress Administration buildings where it's in the United States, that's considered an old building, international listeners, sorry to say. But, you know, a lot of big stones in the outside walls with the really obvious mortar in between the big stones. So I put this in, you know, 1920s, 1930s, if I had to guess. And a big building with almost kind of a turret. I mean, you know, a decent-sized building. Almost kind of has some turrets to it, has some interesting shapes in it. So I've always been interested in that building, and I had never really noticed until I walked back. I was like, I'll be darned, that's actually open. Like, I should go check that out later. Maybe I'll look at that later, but not this morning. I got to get back home, got to get started on a remote work. I work remote some days. So then I'd already told my folks I'd be a little bit late. Get there later on, I get the news that it's done. So I eventually head back down to pick up the car. And when I go to pick up the car, they say, yeah, let me check, but I am not totally sure it's done. Someone did not initial here. So I'm not totally sure your work is done. Turns out it was not done, which is another whole story. So the soup luckily caught it. And I said, well, go get this done. And he goes, yeah, okay. And I said, well, no huge rush. I don't want you to be in a rush. I'm already taking a very late lunch. And I can kind of walk around or go grab a bite. I haven't eaten anything yet. He goes, oh, great. Just give us 30 minutes. So I said, okay. Well, the building is nearby. And for context, this building is on a boulevard that's retail. I should say it's business. All right. There's no residential to the north of there on either side of that building for at least a mile to the north. And right on there, there's no residential for miles on either side to the south. Now, to the east of there, there's only a few blocks until the last North or South Street that is a non-thoroughfare street. So what I mean by that is the furthest you can go east is about 3 or 4 blocks, and then you hit a north-south, which is to the east of that is old rail to trail, used to be a railroad track. So when railroad tracks is, you don't have the usual blocks anymore. You have to go up to a main thoroughfare. Main thoroughfare, you've got to go 2/3 of a mile or something, or a whole mile to go any further east on a main road. Okay, so in between this building and to the east, that farthest east north-south road, there's only about 3 or 4 blocks in this entire industrial area. I say industrial, it's buildings that are non-high traffic retail. You know, some of them might be, you know, say someone has a landscaping business that's pretty good. So they got their little warehouse here, or somebody else has a big giant lighting thing that's mostly for, you know, maybe industrial, you know, or someone who does houses. And so that's where you buy your supplies there. Not any like a Walmart or a Target, but some industrial buildings, and then also some car lots and things. So that's all that's going on to the east of it. There's no residential. There's no green spaces. To the west of it, there are some residential, but not right along the street on the west side of the road. This is on the east side of the road, this old building. Residential is a little bit closer, just to the, just past the businesses in that, into the neighborhood to the west. And that would be the neighborhood to my south. So there's some residential there, but there is, again, no big green spaces. So I just want you to think of that. No, nothing, no green spaces. To the south of there is an old mall, at the far end, far north end of it. You know, there's an existing business, but the mall property itself is basically gone, has been torn down. So there's nothing going on to the south that's of, that's definitely no green space. There's no, you know, sporting goods. There's no Cabela's. There's no Walmart. There's no Target, so on and so forth. So I go to get this car again midday, and I say, man, I got to check out this building. It's such a cool building. And I have the extra half an hour because they had not done the work. So I decide, well, maybe I'll eat. But first, I'm just going to step into this building, ask them about the history. So I do step into the building, and it has another business where you could be like, hey, if you're a homeowner, are you going to be interested in this stuff? They got different things for your that might help you improve your house. So, but it's not a Home Depot or anything like that. It's more specialized than that. Again, retail in one sense, but specialized low traffic retail. And so I ask about the history, and they say, yeah, the funny thing is this used to be a golf course in this area. And this was a clubhouse. Okay. It's funny because the golf courses, there are multiple. If you ever live on the outside, the non-central location of a city, you know, it's one of the first things is put in a non-central location of a city on the outskirts is golf courses, or one of the things, right? And eventually that fills in, and then all of a sudden there's golf courses near residential areas. So to the north of my area is a golf course. And then I'm talking from my house, it's not even a half mile, but it's the south end. And but from this building, that golf course, the closest part of it, is a good two-thirds of a mile to the north, and then a little bit to the west as well. And there's another golf course that's to the east, not very far from me, driving distance. But from that building that I'm talking about, this country club, there's only so many thoroughfares, like I said. So you got to go two-thirds of a mile up to the main thoroughfare, and then go another mile east, a mile and a quarter or so east, and you'll get to the closest corner of that golf course. But no green areas, no golf courses nearby. So I told you the history was it used to be a golf course. So then I go do my things, I waste a little bit more time, grab a snack, come pick up the car. When I pick up the car, I mention that history and get my car. And turns out my car is, I pay for it, go back out to my car, which is on the far west end of this car place's parking lot. But that far west end of their parking lot is at the far east end of this old building's parking lot. It's just that this is one slot to the north. So the far west end of this parking lot my car is in is just south of the far east end of that building's parking lot. And in the corner is to the west of where I was, and to the south of them is an old Pizza Hut, which actually, if you ever listen to Kimology, Kim mentions that very Pizza Hut was something in one of her cherished or remembered teenage stories. So this place has not been a country club for a long time. Kim did not know there was even a golf course there, let alone that was a country club. So it's been decades at least, since it was even close to being the country club itself. Now, I've told you context for what is there and what's going on there to tell you this. I come out to my car, I look to the north of me. Again, I told you that this parking lot's east end of this old building is to the north of the car place's parking lot's west end. So I'm looking to the north, and I see a guy in his 25, you know, range, if I had to say 25 to 35, skinny white guy in contemporary golf gear, okay? You know, the khakis, the more like a Titleist, you know, ball cap. He looks like a contemporary golfer that should be on the fairway. Well, that's not so strange. Some people have that gear. But he's carrying a golf bag and heading straight south. So if he was, he's not at a trunk. He's walking with his golf bag on his shoulders with golf clubs inside it. And I just kind of did a double take. So again, I told you that he is directly north of me. He's not coming from the door of that other building, which would be to his west. Because I told you, I'm at the far west of one lot, and he's at the far east of the other. He's coming straight south, walking, and I just don't know where. Why is he holding a golf bag and golf clubs? Now, it could be absolutely mundane, but it is just so odd that there's no golf course around. There's concrete around. There's no green space around at all. There's not even a decent pocket park, let alone some place to swing a golf club. And even if there was, he's not heading in the right direction for it anyway. So why did he have his golf clubs on his shoulders, heading straight south, not coming from a building? It is so strange. So I tell you that to then also tell you this other little kind of a kicker to it. And that is that the night before, I've been doing, you hear some of my recent episodes, I'm trying to, if you will, manifest a little bit more. What I mean by that is both in a more of a technical sense and just as a generally descriptive sense. Trying to be better about understanding my own energy and being more intentional about what I bring in and to the world and how not to block myself as much, you know, kind of getting your own way. And so I've been reading some things, and one thing I read last night, a Wayne Dyer book, D-Y-E-R, incredible. I cannot think of the name of it right now, but one of the techniques that he said was, as you go to bed, now this is going to connect to the golfer, which is already strange, you must admit. It's going to connect to the golfer, but as you go to bed, or it may, it just adds to the story. As you go to bed, one of the things we'll do, some people will do, is they will focus on cataloging the day. They think of what happened during the day. Maybe not so much, you know, purposely, but that's what they do. And some people, therefore, think about maybe some of the negative things that happened during the day. It's like, oh man, this Janet again, let alone Karen. You know how Karen is. And so they think about a few things that happened that day. Some people maybe focus on the negative. Now, I don't do that, but I can say that I'm in neutral. I mean, I don't go to bed mad, but I may go to bed kind of numb or neutral, depending on how my day has been. More recently, I've been much better at this, but I tend to go to bed neutral. I tend to wake up kind of neutral. I don't go, whoa, it's so awesome. So, but even if you wake up, if you go to bed neutral, Wayne Dyer's idea is this. As to this manifesting idea, or even if you just want to think of positivity, the time right before you go to bed is super duper important. And so that's when your subconscious is working. And the people who talk to you about manifesting and positivity will tell you that your subconscious wants to basically back up what you believe. And so therefore, your subconscious is powerful. You've got to give it the right messages. And Dyer points out, and this would be related to this, that you can accidentally give a negative impression to your subconscious right before the time when it rules. I mean, sleep time is when it rules, 8 hours, give or take, of your subconscious ruling. And what did you just give it in the 5 minutes before going to sleep. Did you give it a negative? In my case, not usually, but maybe impliedly by me being neutral and not thinking too much about it. But instead he goes, you know, the thing is you can actively give it a positive of all these energies, this energy that you're trying to have, that you're trying to be, your new, what you are being, what you are, as you're trying to, as you're adjusting and having this new energy about you to bring in positive things. That energy is what helps feed your subconscious for 8 hours. And because that energy feeds your subconscious for 8 hours, it can really help reinforce the positivity for the next day. And your subconscious is almost like it absorbs this new meaning better because you've worked on it for that 5 minutes before. So I tried it out, you know, try to get into an energetic state of being thankful and feeling the energy of where I want to be. And then I went to sleep having, you know, really got into it pretty well. It's almost meditative, but you're definitely trying to find that energy. Trying to be in that mode, and then you fall asleep, and it was pretty great. I mean, so a couple times I've had sleep paralysis before, but only once, and that was just kind of happenstance. And I've also been in different modes of meditation where you can feel that separate energy that you drop into, or if you want to say rise into. To me, it's always drop. It's a vroom. So I've done this meditative practice at different times in my past, where I notice this energetic state difference, a clear distinction and difference. So I've had that happen before. With this, I woke up going, whoa. I don't know if you guys ever meditate. Sometimes you almost feel like this buzz. It's almost like this, that's the best I can say. It's almost like you can feel the vibe. You're just like, whoa. So I woke up, but didn't get up and just kind of noticed that. Definitely had a notice of that. And this is coming back around to the golfer because I've got some thoughts. So I noticed that. And then at least one other time throughout the night, I don't know that I woke up, but still specifically had that observation, like I'm still in it. I'm still in that other spot. This is very cool. What a great idea. You know, this type of a thing. So felt very peaceful, slept very well. Super. So then it made me think I was just in that state that I haven't been in during sleep. And I don't know how long. You know, other times it's been happenstance. I'm not sure it's been that strong. Like I said, I've meditated, but never to put myself in a certain state for the 8 hours. And the other thing I did, which I do on a regular basis, actually, is add healing energy music, you know, off Spotify. I tend towards a 432 hertz. Look up that 432 hertz instead of 440. And I also did that. So they may have kind of helped each other. I listened to that music while I sleep. So I was already in that energetic state. I kind of primed myself for that and then had that music on. So I wonder how much those kind of work together. And so I say that to say this. I'm not saying that it's true, but stranger things have happened. People talk about it on sci-fi all the time, right? Like in sci-fi and in actual science, they constantly talk about parallel universes. Do they not? All the time. Like, oh, yes, theoretically, there are thousands of them, possibly endless parallel universes. But remember, I didn't see a golfer from the 1920s. I saw a golfer. And again, there might be mundane, because he sure looked regular. He looked real to me. But it was so odd, right? So it's a very interesting story. Now, maybe I go back and I say, hey, do you got somebody who's like really, really into golfing that works here? Or, you know, maybe they go, yeah, that's Bob. He's right there. You know, I saw you looking at me the other day. I was wondering why you stared at me. Yeah, I thought you might be from a parallel universe, Bob. Who's named Bob? If his name is Bob, that might be further evidence I'm in a parallel universe. No one's named Bob anymore, who's a youngster. I say youngster, 25-ish, right? 35-ish. How many Bobs are there from 25 to 35? There are some, I kid, but not a lot. And so it makes me wonder, this was a contemporary dress golfer. So it doesn't seem like a ghost, and he didn't seem like a ghost. But do parallel universes give an appearance of a ghost? He seemed as clear as day. And the only, I kind of wish I would have went, yeah, go ahead and take a picture. But then, I mean, literally he was walking, like I said, in my general direction, like not 50 feet from me. And I was pulling out my car. And I think I even went in that direction to the backside of the building that was, you know, instead of going back to the main road, I went in his direction where he would be walking to the right of me. It's just one of those things. It's like, am I going to pull out my phone and take a picture? Well, that is what's happening. I mean, I did a double and triple take. He is walking straight south with a golf bag and golf clubs, looking as clear as day like a contemporary golfer who does not belong in this location on the earth at all, looking so. What is he doing? This was not, like I said, it was not a sporting goods place. And again, quite possibly mundane, but an interesting story. Is it possible that I saw a parallel universe and then didn't go get evidence of it? Well, the world will never know. Maybe I'll hang out back there. Tell me more about the golf history of this. I'll just hang out over there, see if I see the same guy again. All right, guys, that's it for me. What did I say it was going to be? Weird Story of Maybe, Episode 1. Here on the Scales of Truth, I'm Tyson Harley. Thanks.